I don't know if you saw or not, but last week, the power went out at LAX and Terminal 1. Hundreds of people stranded as there's no electricity. Now, put yourself in their spot for just a moment. You're sitting at the gate, you're looking at your plane, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your plane, but you can't get on the plane because there's no power to run the jet bridge to get you to your plane. Then to add to your frustration, you really don't understand what's going on, and nobody's saying anything, right? You don't know how long it's going to last. Why? Because there's no power for the public address system to explain it to you. 90 minutes go by, maybe a little bit longer, 2 hours. You start to get hungry, but guess what? You're not getting anything to eat. All the restaurants, all the shops are closed because there's no power. You can't even hit up the vending machine. Essentially, it's this. Nothing's gonna happen until the power comes on. Today we celebrate when the power came on for the Christian church. Jesus had told his disciples, go back to Jerusalem and wait there. But he says, but when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, then you're gonna testify, give witness to me, even to the ends of the earth. Today, that's our celebration. The power got turned on, and at that moment, the course of history changed because the Christian church was birthed, and now billions of people call upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God was going to continue his mission using his people and his church, and that mission continues even until today. And it continues here at Risen Savior as we seek to engage all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. So this Pentecost, we want to go back some 2,000 years. We want to see what happened on that Pentecost and see that really today, nothing has changed. We're going to learn three things. First one is this: God's power accomplishes the impossible. God's word has the power to convict and convince, and God's people have the power to make an impact in the world. First of all, God's power accomplishes the impossible. Talk about an impossible task that's given to the apostles, right? It's going to be Pentecost, and on this day of all days, God's going to call upon them to go out into the streets of Jerusalem and proclaim his message. Now, why would this day be a bad day? Well, it's the festival of Pentecost, which was a pretty significant festival back then time, and it was just 50 days after Passover. So that meant all the people who traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, most of them would stay in town to be there for the Pentecost celebration, which means some in the crowd would probably be the same people that cried out for Jesus' crucifixion. They're the ones that wanted him railroaded through and put to death. All of the religious leaders who were against Jesus, they're all still in town. So this is the impossible situation they're faced with. They have a hostile crowd, and on top of it, they have a hostile message. That equals being impossible. What's the hostile message? They're essentially going to proclaim to the crowds that a convicted, crucified criminal is the Messiah. And then for those who were Jewish in the crowd, it was going to be blasphemy because they were going to claim that Jesus is the Son of God. And then for everyone, it's going to be unbelievable because they're going to say he died on Friday, but 3 days later, he came back to life. This is an impossible situation. How in the world are they going to muster up the courage, and what words are they going to use to testify this to the crowds? How's that going to work? God's power. That's how. Because God's power says that you can accomplish the impossible. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, I draw your attention to this because it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived. Another way of translating is that when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled. Now, isn't that a strange way for Luke to start it? Why didn't he just say, on the day of Pentecost? That would make sense. Because he's telling us a little bit more about this day. He says, when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, well, what was fulfilled? Everything that Jesus had told his disciples. He says, but wait, You're going to have power that's going to come upon you, the Holy Spirit. He says, and you're going to give my witness to the ends of the earth. It was fulfilled on this day. Tongues of fire come down and rest on the apostles. They're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They have the courage to go out and face the crowds. And who's there? It says, devout people of every nation under heaven. They received the power of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus had promised, and they gave witness to him to the ends of the earth. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, the impossible becoming possible. And then they start talking, and all the people start hearing them in their own language. And it even gets a little bit more precise than that. It says they heard them in their own dialect. Right? So you could have a language, but depending upon your geographic location, right, that can change slightly. Right? We have our idioms, we have our sayings. So for instance, if they were to proclaim to us today, they'd say to the Texans, y'all come over here, we're fixing to preach. Right? But if you say to the Californians, dudes, see, he's speaking their dialogue. So they're hearing the words where it would penetrate the most, where they would listen to them. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Today, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. We all face impossible situations in our lives. We can't figure out how in the world we can get out of it. Maybe such an impossible situation for you is you have a friend one or you have a loved one that's fallen away from the faith, or maybe you fear that they have no faith at all, and you wonder, how in the world are you going to muster up the courage? And how would you ever have the words to say anything to them at all? Well, I'll tell you how. By God's power. The same Spirit that was given to the apostles is the same Holy Spirit that was given to you at your baptism. There is no reason for us to believe that God still accomplishes the impossible. He still does it. Right? Nothing has changed from 2,000 years ago until today. The same mighty Spirit, the same power that came upon them, that all lives inside of you. So God's power accomplishes the impossible. And then God's Word has the power to convict and to convince. Let's go back to our apostles in that first Pentecost. Right? They have got a very unpopular message. It's a hostile message, but it's also a very unpopular message. Let me set the scene for you. So they go out, and most of the people in the crowd are Jewish people, right? So the Jews have been waiting for generations for the Messiah to come, right? Hundreds of years waiting for God's promised one. Now, albeit, they had a false idea. They thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom, finally free them from Rome. But that doesn't matter. They've been all praying. They've been all waiting for the Messiah to come. Listen to a couple snippets of Peter's sermon to them. He says this in verse 23. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed. Did you catch that? This Jesus, y'all in the crowd, you remember him, right? Yeah. So God planned his being here. Right? His foreknowledge, he knew that was part of his plan that he'd be here, and you crucified him. It gets worse, though. Go down to verse 36. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucify. Two very big words there. He's made him Lord, he's God, he's the Son of God, and he's Christ. He is the Messiah that you've been waiting for. So essentially, the message that he's saying to the crowd is, you all been praying for the Messiah for hundreds of years. He was here. You missed him. In fact, you killed him. Right? That would be like going into a biker bar and saying, motorcycles are for weenies. Some things you just don't do. Right? That's their message. But God's Word has the power to convict and to convince. Right? Let's go to the very next verse, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? That's the power of God's Word. That's the power of God's Holy Spirit. What I would call a hostile crowd, and yet they are cut to the heart, they're convicted from the word. They believe Peter, and then they're convinced that Jesus is the answer. So, brothers, what should we do? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God's word. And today, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. God's word still convicts, and God still convinces us. It's always been that way. The same power then is the same power today. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. Where God's word has convicted you, where you read something or you've heard something, and you go, oh, and you know what you did was wrong. You hang your head in shame. You're convicted. You're cut to the heart. But then you're convinced. You're convinced of the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And you know because of his life and death and resurrection that your sins can be forgiven, that the slate can be wiped clean. You're convinced of God's love and grace, right? You've experienced that. You know the power of God's word in your life, right? You know the power of the Holy Spirit as he works through the word. You know, there probably isn't a Sunday go by, there certainly isn't a month that goes by, that depending on whether Pastor Mark is preaching or I'm preaching, someone will come out and they'll say, you must have been watching me this week because you spoke directly into my life. Now, as much as we'd like to take credit for that, we can't. That is the power of God's Spirit. That's the power of God's word speaking your dialect, your language, and speaking into your heart. That same power is available to you. You're struggling with what to say to that family member, that friend, that person who's fallen away, and how do you muster up the courage? Remember, God's word has the power. It's not you, but God's word has the power to convict and convince. You start relying on the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. We go to Luke chapter 12. He says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you should say. At that very moment, when you start resting in the Spirit and you start relying on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in those conversations, you are going to be amazed. Amazed at what God does through you and what God does with his word. Because God's word has the power to convict and to convince. And then God's people have the power to impact the world. Impact the world. Listen to what happened after Peter got done preaching. Verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. One sermon, one message, 3,000 people come to faith. By the end of chapter 2, it says the Lord added to their numbers daily those who are being saved. And you can find that phrase elsewhere in the early church. Right? They were impacting the world. Because they stood up on that day 2,000 years ago, we're here today, and billions of people know Jesus as their Savior. Right? God's people have the power to impact the world. But understand, it's God's power. It's not people's power. It's God using his people and his church to fulfill his mission. Case in point, Acts chapter 3. Peter's coming into town. There's a man who hasn't been able to walk since birth. He says, I don't have anything to give you, but I'll give you this. He says, why don't you get up and walk? And all of a sudden, this lame man can walk. A crowd gathers around. They're all astounded at what Peter has just done. But listen to how Peter responds to that. He says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? He said, this wasn't us. This is the power of God. God was using us, but this is the power of God at work. And today, nothing has changed. Today, nothing has changed. It is the same Holy Spirit. It is the same power. It is the same God who is going to accomplish his mission through his people and through his church. Imagine this, if you will. Imagine if everyone who attended Risen Savior this morning, so that's not all the members, I'm just talking all the people that attended this morning. Right, so this is our lowest time of year, so I'm going to go conservative, about 600 people, give or take, right? About 600 people. If you took the challenge that within the next month, you were going to invite one person that doesn't have a church home, either to worship, to men's group, women's ministry, landscaper, something in the church, right? So if 600 of you took that challenge, If just half said, yeah, okay, it's 300 people. 300 people that would give us an opportunity to begin a relationship with them, to earn the right to share with them the gospel message. And now just imagine if we did that all year long. The impact that we could have on our community. The impact, frankly, that we would have on the world. And there's no reason to believe that we won't, because nothing has changed. God is still pursuing his mission, using his people and his church. The power has been turned on. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you for sending your Spirit and Holy Spirit. We ask that you would burn brightly in our hearts, that you would give us the courage to stand up for you and to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.